All right, Diane, here we go.
All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? You have tuned in to another week of Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh. Well, we got your hosts, Diane and Zach, checking in. What's up, y'all?
Hello.
Hey.
What's up? What's up?
Same old.
Yay.
I know, right? He's just snuck up in here. So what's been going on with y'all?
I just been chilling. I mean, my whole thing, you know, it's Memorial Day, cookouts going on. People don't put the chicken on the grill. They got the grill.
That's what's up.
They getting fat.
I know, right? So no ribs for you, Zach?
Say what now?
I said no ribs for you. You weren't going?
No, actually, I didn't have any ribs. The only thing I had was a slice of pizza.
I ain't going to eat pizza on Memorial Day. That's sacrilegious.
That was bad. And then what's so bad? I'm actually in Atlanta, and I just had a slice of pizza for Memorial Day. But yeah, but you know that's all right because I got some what's this? Ciroc? Is that what it's called? And I got a little.
You ain't got no Ciroc, Zach. You ain't got no Ciroc.
Yeah, but I'm too busy to don't hit me up. He don't hook me up. I got some. I got a little cranberry juice. I'm over here.
So Diddy showed you how to mix it? That's what's up. I ain't messed up.
No. Diddy here teach me how to mix it. I missed it myself.
Well, that is what's up. Well, we are just so excited and so happy to be here tonight. Another week again of keeping it real hot and fresh, and y'all know that's what we do. So tonight we're going to first of all say happy Memorial Day to all of our listeners. We're so happy that you joined us. And we're going to take a personal moment to give homage to some of the people that we know or to a person that we know that's been in the service that risked their lives or are still there, you know, fighting for our freedom and representing our country. So, Ms. Diane, who you got? Who you going to pay homage to tonight? Okay.
Well, my dad is actually retired Air Force, so I definitely
want
to give props to my dad.
Okay, that's what's up. Way to go, Diane's dad. What about you, Zach?
My daddy, he used to be in the service like years ago, so does that still count?
Yeah, that still counts. Hey, anytime you had to put on a uniform and go fight some folks you don't know, it counts. So that's what's up. And tonight I want to pay homage to my grandfather, Mr. William C. Lanston. He's gone now, so Memorial Day is always very special to me, but he actually fought in World War II. And that's my grandfather, so we're going to pay homage to him on tonight. So that's what's up. And, again, we want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody, and we hope you had all your all your good barbecue, whether it was ribs or you did it vegan. You had your soybean burgers. We ain't mad at you either. I've been there. So that's what's up. We just want to say happy Memorial Day to y'all. But as always, we're going to start off with our weekly inspirations. Are y'all ready?
We ready.
Yes,
ma'am. Okay, that's what's up. This week's weekly inspiration is going to come from Romans, the 4th chapter, and verse 18. And like I always say, we're going to do the remix version, or the NLV version, as some people say. And we do it that way just so that we can make it plain for our listeners. Okay, here we go. Romans 4 and 18. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Now, oftentimes in life, when we have dreamed about something, when we wanted something, and sometimes have even prayed for something, we begin to lose hope when it doesn't happen right when we want it to. We sometimes listen to our friends and family around us who may be telling us, you know what, you need to give up on that dream, or basically telling us that we need to find something else to do. We begin to doubt ourselves, and we begin to think to ourselves that it's never going to happen. However, this scripture reminds us of Abraham in the Bible. Some of you all may remember, but he was 99 years old. And not only had God promised him a child, but he promised to make him the father of many nations. However, due to his age and the age of his wife, Abraham could have easily adapted an attitude of hopelessness, but he did not. He continued to trust in God and God's promises, and in the end, God, like always, was faithful to his word. So the way that this kind of helps us, you know, me and our listeners, is if you're facing a situation that seems hopeless, maybe you have a promise from God that you haven't seen come to pass yet, or you have a dream. You know, some of us have been locked up or laid off. You know, we may have lost a loved one, and you feel like there really isn't any reason to hope anymore. Just remember that what God did for Abraham, he can also do it for you. And like Abraham, we should remember to always keep hope, even when there is no reason to hope, and always trust in God, even when we can't see it. So when you hope beyond reason, you will see that God's promises will be fulfilled in every area of your life. And like always, and this is what I always say to everybody, remember, as long as you have breath in your body, you have a chance. And as long as you have Jesus, you have more than enough. So never lose hope. And that's our weekly inspiration. I went long on y'all tonight, huh? I hope y'all weren't falling asleep over there.
No,
like
that's
how you
a really
doing with church.
One.
Well, we want to also remind our listeners, because we got a pretty hot topic tonight, always remember that we want to hear from you, and to call in to 646-200-3136. Again, that call-in number is 646-200-3136. We really, really, really want to hear from you. So what's up, y'all?
Well, I mean, my whole thing, I didn't hit that with the inspiration was very inspirational. You know, folks these days, they all got crazy.
Yeah.
So, I was there, just, they got laid off, and then, like,
right.
You get locked up because, you know, some people, they get, because they're laid off.
We got an extra host over there. That's what's up.
I was curious about Diane and
Moa
Beach. Diane,
do
you go to the
Black League? No, I missed it all. I did.
Oh, my goodness, no.
I avoid it. Like, I don't do well in traffic. Like, I'll start to freak out in traffic. But I live, like, 15 minutes from there, so I don't really see a whole lot of it.
Okay, y'all. It looks like we have a caller on the line. So, caller? Caller, are you there? Hello, you're on. We're keeping it real hot and fresh. Are you there? Hello, hello. You're on. We're keeping it real hot and fresh. Are you there? Okay, y'all. Okay, I want you to call back, okay, because we can't hear you. Get in a better area and call us back, all right? All right. I mean, what else could I say?
You're like,
hello. It's like, bye, baby. Call us back. We got you. But that's what's up. So, Diane, you didn't do the bike week?
No. I just can't do it. Like, I mean, I saw a little bit of the first bike week that we had and everything. They're a lot smaller than they've been, though. There's a lot less people down here.
Right. I think the economy has really taken a the economy is really taking a toll on all of that good stuff. Because I noticed that this year, we have something, well, that's gonna make me sound real country, but we have something called Mule Day.
You need to bring that up to Tommy now.
Near where I stay. So a lot of people did participate. Oh, Lord have mercy. I can't believe I even mentioned that. But a lot of people didn't participate this year as well because of the economy. But things are definitely going to get better. So tonight, y'all, we have a very, very hot topic. With all this talk about AIDS awareness and people having safe sex, we want to know from our listeners as well as from us how we think that it affects our school systems. I mean, how do you all feel about schools distributing condoms? What's y'all think about that?
See, that's very touchy because, I mean, I think it's good, especially with, like, the AIDS awareness, but I guess a lot of parents would see it like, you know, like that's actually
promoting.
Promoting the kids.
Right.
Yes. So I mean, it's you know what I'm saying. So I think it's good because see, even though it is kind of, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's real. You know what I'm saying. I mean, kids want to. So why not be safe while having sex? I was actually talking to a good friend of mine, and he had said something about you know, like, whenever he was young, how, like, kids were, like, you know, peer pressure or whatever. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you go through the peer pressure, you know, so, of course, you know what I'm saying? And then also, one thing he said was, you know, like especially for, like, the guys, you know, like what if, like, you know, a guy is, you know, like, a guy asks his friend for, like, a condom, and they're like, what, the condom on her? I mean, yeah, you would use a condom on her, so, I mean.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it is kind of scary, but you know me and how I feel about schools and churches and things of that nature. I still think that it's ultimately up to the parent to go over those types of things, you know, with the kids. And I was looking at the studies on different education in schools nowadays and things of that nature. And when you look at all the countries in the world, the United States, we're supposed to be, you know, the land of the free, the home of the brave. People come here, we have the American dream. But in all the countries, we rate like number 18. So I feel like I want you to teach my child math, you know, reading, arithmetic, language, so that they can grow up to be, you know, the engineers and the movers and the shakers of the world, and let me stick to all that personal stuff. And that's just, that's really just how I feel about it. Our education system right now is horrible, and we're so concerned about all this other stuff, but we're really, really lacking where we really, really should be. So how do y'all feel about that?
Well, I don't know. Like, I think it's a double-edged sword. I agree with you. It should be something that's done at home, but unfortunately it's not. And because of what I do with the job and the kind of the area in which I work in, it's really tough because I see so many teen parents, and they're just not educated about sex at all, and they don't understand the consequences. And it's tough because I do agree with you. I do think it's something for the home. I do agree that it's something with the parent. But if they're not doing it, I believe it needs to be done somewhere. And with condoms being distributed, I have to say I do believe in it because this day and age, kids are having sex regardless. Mm-hmm. They're having sex, and it's better safe than sorry because we are seeing too much of a high pregnancy rate for teens nowadays. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, let me play the devil's advocate on that, Diane, because say, like, for example, if I have a child, and let's just say because one of the studies that I researched was done between 9th and 11th graders, right? So let's just say I have a child 14 years old in school, you know, working on science projects, trying to get ready for her next track meet, things of that nature, and then she's walking through the hall and someone passes her a condom. You know, my child,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Her mind wasn't on that. She wasn't thinking about that. She wasn't considering that. She was where she needed to be. Now the school has presented something to my child that she may not have even been ready for. Do you think it's a certain maybe grade, you know, that they should start this at? Do you think that maybe the parents should sign a waiver for the kids to be talked to about this? I mean, how do we set a balance?
Well, we've discussed this a lot at my job, and one thing that it's unfortunate that we have to do this, but I think that we really need to subject children to some sort of, like, put them as one period a day so that they're doing child care or whatever, like if they have
right.
a daycare center or whatever. So they're
That's
seeing
excellent.
What it's really like to have children, which ultimately may prevent them from having sex. And it ultimately teaches them about parenting even when they're older. They're learning
right.
about child development. They're learning, it's not just, you know, their babysitters. They're learning about how children really develop and see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, children aren't all fun and games all the time. You know, they cry, they poop, they do it all.
Exactly.
So.
And it's awesome that you mentioned that, because I was actually having this conversation, because this is kind of, you know, a touchy topic. So I was talking to my godfather this weekend, and he was saying that when they were young, they actually had a class called Planned Parenthood. You know what I mean? So it was like a little softer approach. They didn't really go over just sex. They went through the consequences. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
About what sex was going to do. So I think that's excellent that you would mention that, because he said the same thing. He was like, you know, school should go back to maybe having Planned Parenthood classes where the kids can see, like, one-on-one, you know, what's going on and what to expect from that. Zach, when you were in school, did they have any type of sex education classes?
They do have sex education classes, but I don't think anybody ever went.
What y'all was like, nah, we got that, we got that, we good, we know. That is too crazy. Well, we want to remind our listeners that the call-in number is 646-200-3136. Again, that is 646-200-3136. We definitely want to hear from you and see how you guys feel about that. So at my high school, they never had sexual education classes at all. And I was looking at the study that they did at Emory University, and what they did was they interviewed 522 sexually active African-American adolescents. And what they were asking them was, you know, like, what motivated you, you know, to want to have sex, or what, you know, prompted you to want to have sex? And you got to remember, all these are like high school students, right? And some of them were saying that what encouraged them to have sex was the fact that they thought that a lot of their other friends were having sex. So, I mean, is peer pressure still like one of the number one reasons why kids are having sex nowadays?
I think so. I definitely think
mm-hmm.
so.
Okay. And then another thing that they were saying is not only was it the peer pressure, but it was the environment that they were in. And I think this kind of ties into last week's show when we were saying you have to kind of guard, you know, what your kids are watching and what your kids are and what your kids are doing, because the environment and the things that they see, they're going to want to imitate. You know what I mean? And they're going to want to be like. And then the last one says support from the family. And I think it still goes back to the family being the first point of contact when it comes to things like sex. You know what I mean? Especially in a lot of the African-American households, it's something that we assume that our kids know about, but we never or rarely sit down and actually talk about. You know what I mean?
Well,
and if your children have to rely on their friends to tell them about it, or even school where they may be uncomfortable to raise their hand and ask a question about it, you know, I think as parents, you know, even if you're aunts or cousins, you really should take a little bit more responsibility. What were you about to say, Diane?
No, I was going to say, well, I actually, on the side, do, I'm a facilitator for what's called Darkness to Light, and it's all about sexual abuse
mm-hmm.
awareness and prevention. And there's a video on it, and there's one woman in particular, and it hits you hard because she says, you can't just have one sex talk with your child.
Exactly.
You have to continually
exactly.
have sex talks with your children. Make it comfortable to talk about it, you know? And
mm-hmm.
it's not always going to be easy to talk about, but once they're more educated on it, you know,
right.
I think we could prevent some of these problems, but...
Exactly. And then, too, you still have a lot of people that are under the illusion that the only consequence for sex is an unwanted pregnancy. And it goes back to, you know, to AIDS and what we were talking about last week about how one in every five adults has herpes. You know what I mean? And that's really serious. So not only do we need to talk to them about sex, but we need to talk to them about the consequences of having unprotected sex. So, Zach, you went to AIDS Awareness, the march in New York. How was that? I mean, what was the age ranges there? Was everybody out there, or how was that when you went to the march?
Yeah, there was all kinds of ages there. I mean, it was a very nice event. Everybody definitely, you know, they definitely enjoyed it. So, you know, they had condoms everywhere. You know, I mean,
wow.
It was like from teenagers to grown ups. It was a great event. It too was, you know, kind of like what I think one of y'all said earlier about, you know, the parents have to, you know, continue to stay on the children about this. You know, you don't just talk to them one time about sex. And then another time.
Exactly.
Yeah, another thing, too, is, like, I think sometimes parents, you know, they don't want to, it's kind of like sex is, like, taboo. You know, they don't want to talk
right.
about it. I mean, but you got to talk about it because they can do it. I mean, because, you know, on D-Day, just like our last week show about the hip-hop, you know, you turn on so many videos, you see, you know, these women half naked, you know what I'm saying? Then that's turning people on, you know, they want to go try it, so.
Right.
Movies, you know what I mean? So it's everywhere. I mean, sex is really promoted. So why, I mean, see, my whole thing is, it's funny how a lot of people promote sex, but then they get ashamed to promote safe sex. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. And I have to agree with you 110% on that, Zach. And I think that, too, it goes to our show about hip-hop artists and hip-hop in general. If you are going to promote that activity, and I think that's why we pay homage to Left Eye so much, because she was really, really big on that. You know what I mean? She wore the condoms over her left eye and everything. You know, she was really, really big on promoting safe sex. So if you are going to promote it, at least make sure that you include that as well.
Yeah.
And I agree 110% with that conversation. I just, for some reason, I still have this little, like, barrier inside of me that doesn't want that necessarily taught that way in school. Or maybe let me sign a waiver, you know, or something. Because, again, it goes back to the point I was trying to make. Sometimes we can put our kids in a situation that they weren't even ready for yet. Because not all kids between the ages of 13 and 18 are even thinking about sex. And I think that if you go to school and you start passing out condoms, you're creating something for some kids that wasn't even there just yet.
Yeah.
So that's my only thing about it. I think,
no, you're right. It's definitely that double-edged sword, you know, because you're
right.
going to get those kids that are in the schools that are sexually active, that are doing things they shouldn't be doing, and then you're going to get the ones that have been good, that are waiting and whatever, and it's just like, wait a minute, where does it lie? What do we need to do?
Right. Because I think along with the you know, let's say if they are going to have sex education classes in school, they should also maybe have an abstinence class, because there are still people out there, and I know it sounds weird and crazy, but there are still people out there that, you know, practice that and believe in that as well.
You know, so I think... But, you know, Tori, the funny thing, too, is, like, whenever you said it, I mean, it's kind of funny how, like how you said it, that sounds funny and weird that there are people that, you know, that still abstinence or haven't had sex. I mean, it's sad. If you really, really, really think about it, it's sad that people just think that you're just supposed to have sex. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's a requirement. Like, if we go together, it's going down. That's just the way it is. You know what I mean? It's so much more to life than just that. And I know everybody probably like, yeah, right. But it really is. It is so much more to life than just that. And I think that if we can approach relationships in a more intellectual level, you'll find yourself a little bit more fulfilled versus if you just go in there trying to satisfy the physical, you know.
Tony,
I hope that wasn't too deep. Go ahead, Zach.
like I said, y'all, you know, I'm in ATL with my people, but actually, I do have one of my good friends. He just want to kind of just chime in on this.
What's up. Put him on. Tell him to keep it real high and fresh, though. Don't call him nothing lame. Keep it real high and fresh.
Hey, what's up, Apple?
What's up?
What's good? Yeah, there's a lot of you know, peer pressure out there that's running rapid. You know what I'm saying? You got no kids still going out there, but they having sex to blend in with the ones that do have sex.
Right.
You know what I'm and, you know, the scary thing is, like, I don't have no kids. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But neighborhood, I see it all the time. Like, there's a lot of single parents around here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they work at night. They're thinking that the kid is okay, that the kid is staying
right.
doing the right
mm-hmm.
thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I work, and as I come in, I usually touch down at my crib about like 12:15, and I'm seeing like these little kids walking through the neighborhood, and I'm like, what the hell
goodness.
Are you doing?
Exactly, like, exactly.
And you know, we all say like, you know, that the parents need to step up their game, but if I'm a parent and I'm home, you know what I'm saying? I'm a single parent, and I'm trying to do the right things. My first thing. My list is like, yo, I want to sleep. You know what I'm saying? My kid is in school. I'm coming home while my kid's in school. Then as my kid's coming home, it's just like, hey, I fixed you something. I got to go to work. You know what I'm saying? And it's
wow.
Like,
Here
it is. You know, we got a lot of kids. They always come. You know, the worst thing a kid can do, I don't know if any kids out here on the line now listening, the worst thing you can do is talk to your friend. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They're actually active. And ask them, you know, for advice. The best advice you can, if you can't talk to your parent, talk to your auntie, your uncle, your grandma,
right.
your grandfather. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, some kids give a mixed message, you know what I'm saying? If a kid spill a drink or something, they screaming on them, So how you think your kid's going to come to you and say, hey, Mom, listen, can I speak to you? Hey, Dad, can I speak to you?
Wow.
Like,
I mean, that's an excellent point.
You know, I'm like, yo, I want to talk to you about, you know, sex, but damn, I'm scared to come to you because you're going to scream on me because just because I made a mistake and I spilled a little juice on the floor and I'm getting ready to get it up now. You know what I'm saying? Damn, let me go talk to my girlfriend, Barbara. Let me go talk to my man, Dave. You know what I'm saying? Dave is going to, yo, man, she's 13. Go hit that up raw, man. You don't need no condom, but you don't know what. You know what I'm saying? She could have been one of the child, been molested or something like that, and happened to catch that virus. You know what I'm saying? But you, I mean, guys, nowadays, you know what I'm saying? They just want to, you know, try to be down in front of the homeboys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You get that shit. Where's your homeboys at? You know what I'm saying? When you catch a whatever, where's your homeboys at? They're not gonna be around. You as a female, you. Where's your homegirls at?
Right. I mean, you make some excellent points because, too, that's the point that we have to think about as parents because I actually do have two little ones. And we have to make sure that as a parent we let our child know, you know, that there is an open forum, that you can come and talk to me about anything. And I think that we do need to be a little bit more prepared. So I guess in a situation like what you're saying, And it goes back to what Diane's saying about it being a double-edged sword. It is kind of good and bad if the school can't step in where you can't. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
And maybe open that forum where you can. So, I mean, everything that you said was excellent. And I want to also go to a study that was done by a doctor. His name was Harold Lightenberg. And he studied 4,200 girls between the ages, between the 8th and the 12th grade. And some of those girls had lost their virginity at like 11 and 12, and it goes back to what he was saying. And they lost it because the partners were far older than them. They said some of the partners were about 5 or more years older. So you do have, when he was saying how friends go talk to friends and they say, yeah, go ahead, you have a lot of young people out there who have predators on them. You know what I mean? Who have older kids that are influencing them, you know, to go that way. So we want to thank you so much for your input. Did you have anything else that you wanted to enlighten us with?
Nah, my partner, he's telling me to give up the phone. So.
Okay, that's what's up. Well, it was so nice hearing from you. And remember to keep it real high and fresh.
Well,
and y'all have fun.
Tell you what, I'm going to grab the number from him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Night, but I'll tell you what, I usually take my lunch time about 6 o'clock, 6:30. My new lunch time is 9 to 10.
All right. Well, that's what's up, because we definitely want to hear from you again.
Well, Most definite. Most definite.
Okay, that's what's up.
Hi, Todd, Beck.
Hey, Beck, I got one question for you. Are you going to trip out on this question? Hey, is that the dude in the red? Beck, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, yo, mama, I don't wear nothing red, baby. Nothing.
Zach will get it when he go home. Well, right now, you guys, we are going to take a small break, but we will be right back with you. So remember that the call-in number when we come back is 646-200-3136. We definitely want to hear from you. We're going to take a small break and be right back.
It should not come as a surprise to anybody that escorts around the country are tuned in to how the media cover our work and our lives. It may, however, come as a surprise to some that sex workers in many sectors have something to say about it. They have insight, they have analysis, and they have outrage. Bound Not Gagged is our way of responding to the injustice and hypocrisy that keeps sex workers' voices muted and faces hidden. Sex workers may be in hiding, but they refuse to be silent. At Bound Not Gag, you will get an inside look at the true inner workings of this mysterious business. The Desiree Alliance is a proud sponsor of this project. Remember, www.bounotgagged.com.
Okay, you guys, and we are back, and we are going to take another little time out because we are going to get to one of our most favorite parts of the entire show, and that is with Miss Diane. Diane, you know I look forward to this like every week, right, because I'm so nosy. So we are going to give it up for Miss Diane, and she is going to give us Dee's dish. So go ahead, Miss Diane.
Well, I just want you all to know, like, mainly where I get all of my gossip from is PerezHilton.com.
Okay.
Do you ever listen to that or look at that on the internet?
I love him.
Oh, my God, me too. It's so
I
ridiculous.
Do. I love him. But I did not know. So you said that was at PerezHilton.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. That's
yeah, so everybody, if you just want your, you know, Hollywood gossip, go there. Cause he's always got comments about everything, so... No, this week I actually wanted to talk about Paris Hilton because pretty much almost every week I have to talk about a hot mess. If that's not one reason not to have or safe sex or reproduce, I don't know one at all. But she actually was just at a party on a yacht for the Cannes Film Festival, and her boyfriend got kicked out because, like, they were shoving their tongues down each other's throat, and she's giving him lap dances in front of everybody. And she's denying it ever happened, but there's a ton of pictures where she's showing all her goodies and she's, you know, all up on him and everything like that. So Paris Hilton is the reason people have unsafe sex.
Wow.
So she is the ultimate.
I just
bless
can't
her.
Stand her. Oh.
You know, it's just, I think she's just a publicity genius.
Her. I mean, you know, she just has all this money. She's very spoiled, so she does not really care what she do. She's just living life. She don't care how she's living life. She's just living it.
It just kills me, though. After she was, you know, she did a stint in jail, and she comes out, and she's like, I'm going to do all this community service. Not that I believed it, but I'm like, you know, maybe she'll follow up a little bit on her end of the bargain. But no, she's just trashy the way that she puts herself out in public, and she's the worst role model. Like, Beyonce is God compared to Paris Hilton. That's all I
Oh, have. My goodness. No, hey, now, I'm telling you, that topic last week was so heated. So many people were hitting me up on my page like, y'all know, she know. I mean, they were so mad at me because that's like my girl, right? But they were so mad at me. But Paris Hilton, I have to agree with you, Diane. That is definitely, you know, a hot mess. But I think she does everything she possibly can, you know, just to get attention. And
oh,
the
yeah.
cameras are there, so she, you know, she likes to put on a show. Because as far as, like, maybe talent, you know, it's not like she can get out there and sing or dance or, you know, anything. So
she tries,
has
but...
Oh, she sure did have an album, didn't she? That's right, because
yeah,
they sold
but...
200 copies. That's right, she sure did have an album. And her mama bought all 200. But
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
So...
She's got to, like, store it in a closet in their huge mansion somewhere.
Bless
well,
her heart. So I think that she just... Go ahead, Zach.
You
also
have
a
sex tape, too?
No, I still have no sex tape.
Oh, I won't lie.
Can you imagine?
You know what she sure does, doesn't she? Yeah, and the whole time, like, I will not get into detail, but she's looking
she sure
at her
does.
Nails. She's picking up the telephone. Like, she's, yeah.
Well, you know what, y'all? We got to do, maybe that should be on the next show. Who has the best sex tape? And y'all already know who gets my vote, even though he said it wasn't him. Not that I've seen it, I'm talking about from what I heard. Even though he said it wasn't him, I think R. Kelly got that one. I think R. Kelly got
God.
That one. Well, his was very adventurous from what I heard.
From what I heard.
From what I heard. You know, he was on there. Yeah. Anyway, so back to the topic of that what we were talking about. Now, I have another question for y'all. And these topics are generated from people writing us and, you know, letting us know what they want to hear about, what they want to talk about. But they were talking about gender classes in school. So how do you feel about somebody, you know, maybe teaching your kids about gender classes? And if you don't know what that means, it's basically, you know, we know about the, you know, heterosexuals, but they want to teach your classes, you know, classes to on maybe, you know, other type of lifestyles or alternative lifestyles that some people choose. So do you all agree with that being in our school system? Dead silence on the phone. You're like, girl, my mama lives in there. Next question.
I don't know. I'm a really free person, and I mean, I'm really, really liberal. But that
mm-hmm.
one's tough, just because some people, as far as like homosexuality goes and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
some people believe you're born that way, and some people believe
mm-hmm.
that you're taught, or you know, that's a learned behavior.
Well, it's a choice.
And
mm-hmm.
it's such. I mean, that's. You're stepping on some serious toes there, I think, if
right.
you're trying to teach your child. You know, I know what I believe, but to have a teacher tell you basically how it is,
exactly.
that's really tough, you know.
Right, and so that's what I was thinking, too. And I'm probably just, like, old school, really old-fashioned or really outdated. But I was thinking, too, when it comes to a topic that is that sensitive, and that's a very sensitive topic, because you could have a person teaching that class who doesn't believe in it, and then they're going to put in their point of views from it. You know, everybody's going to have their different point of views. It's probably never going to be a set curriculum for it. So that, again, is another, you know, topic or situation that I would want to have with my child, too. I think in any situation, though, you have to teach your kids not to practice hate, regardless of what the situation is. You know what I mean? Not to practice hate if she's black. Not to practice hate if she's white. If she's gay, if she's straight. You should never, ever teach your kids, you know, hate, period. So I think that if they don't want to teach the gender classes, they definitely need to teach tolerance and not bullying, you know, like irregardless. Because that is touchy. You know what I mean? You know how back in the day the kids on the block would come and they would talk about molestation and they would talk about this and they would talk about that. And I think that if they make it general across the board not to hate a person, period, or not to practice hate or not to bully or talk about people, because, you know, in this country we've had several people attacked, you know, because of their race or their gender, you know, their sexuality. So I think if we want to teach our kids anything, the biggest lesson to teach them would be tolerance in general. You know,
I definitely agree, yeah. I mean, I could see teaching that, like, in a college philosophy class.
Right,
but I don't
exactly.
really see it being taught earlier, because, I mean, it goes along basically with religion. You can't
mm-hmm.
preach religion in school, and you definitely can't
right.
preach, you know.
Exactly.
Like,
you can't have that double standard,
you know?
There.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. So, Zach, were you about to say something on that?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I was also thinking too about the heterogeneous classes versus gender. I think gender-based.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think too of like just like having like you know, like well how it is now, you know, boys and girls in a class, or just having like just boys in a class versus, you know, and then just in a class. You know what I'm saying? What do y'all think? Yeah.
I definitely wish, and I know we're going to get dogged out about this, but I wish it wasn't nothing but girls in my child's class, because she just gets so distracted. Hold on 1 second, guys. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. We're keeping it real hot and fresh. You have a comment?
Hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Okay, can we have your name, caller?
My name is Antoine Brisbane.
Okay, hi, Antoine. Can you go ahead and give us your comments about the show tonight?
Yes. I'm an assistant principal in the North Carolina public school system.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, it would be befitting because if I were just to address what you were talking about in regards to heterogeneous grouping and homogeneous
grouping. Sure, we definitely
want
to hear your comments. Sure.
Yes. And one thing that I have that I've learned, you know, in my tenure as an administrator, is that homogeneous grouping and heterogeneous grouping, there is a major difference. And when we look at accountability, basic control, and we look at AYP, and what we were trying to do under Bush's regulations back in 1998 when he started No Child Behind, is to basically kind of look at where each subgroup is located.
Okay.
And so we have different sets of locations of ability grouping. So we have our Hispanic, we have our Black, we have our free and reduced lunch. And so we find out that if we basically group kids according not to ability, but by grouping, you know, that there will be a higher academic achievement.
Wow.
And so if we group our Black males together or our white males together, we will see a different diverse of achievement just to contingent upon the grouping that we've done, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that will kind of lead us to where we need to go as far as our instructional accountability, our instructional ability with children, and what we need to do as far as just to move them forward. So when we look at homogeneous grouping and heterogeneous grouping, we look at is it really working when we group boys and girls together, or if we just do gender-based classing? And a lot of schools have moved towards gender-based classing where they just put males all together because we see that there's a struggle with our males, especially our African-American males. We see there's a struggle with them. And so we have gotten to the point where we just put males together. And so we can put that one-on-one male with those individual males, you know, to give guidance to them. And then we put, you know, the girls together along with an instructional accountability person as a female just to give guidance to them. Because one thing as an administrator I've known as, one thing when I deal with my male grouping, I get more response from them. You know,
right, when
more,
the girls aren't around.
Right. And so
exactly.
When I deal with my males, then, you know, they can really hear from me. And so, you know, and then when the assistant principal deal with her female, you know, she really can deal with her female because there are some things that I can address that are male, that are female oriented that I just can't deal with because I don't know that much about them. But when she deals with those females, she get more of a greater response from them as opposed to where I'm dealing with a male, I can get a greater response from them as well. So I think that homogeneous grouping is really more impacted upon students as well rather than heterogeneous grouping because you can really get a more mixed message when you have just have them grouped together because if you just really have a male dealing with the males and then a female dealing with the females, I think you get a greater response.
And see, that's the same thing that I was saying. When I saw that topic, I thought, wow, that's an excellent topic because that's the way I wish I could have it because I definitely think that, and I'm dealing with a preteen daughter who is totally distracted by boys. You know what I mean? And I always say to myself, if she was just in an all-girls school, or maybe next year I'm going to send her to an all-girls school to where she can just, you know, concentrate without that distraction, you know, from the males. So you're saying in your school, I do have a quick question for you. So in your school, are you saying you all do the grouping based on the girls here and the boys there? Or are you saying, too, that you're grouping all black males together? And all, I got a little confused there, and all Hispanics.
No, not just all black males, but just all boys together.
Right, okay.
Then
that's
all
why I got
females
a little confused.
Together.
Okay,
yeah. But, you know, just bringing it, narrowing it, you know, talking about an African-American population, you know, they really need that explicit guidance, you know, in regards to what needs to be done, you know, to move our African-American males forward. But what I'm saying is that, you know, in our school we do group being by, you know, males and females, and we have seen a greater impact on what we do as far as an instruction, number one, you know, and then number two, then you're trying to, after we get the instruction down pat, then we move as far as, you know, dealing with their personal issues. Because one thing that I've realized as being an administrator is that, you know, if kids care about you, then they will know exactly what will need to be done in order for them to move forward in regards to them caring about you as an instructional leader.
Okay, well, that is just awesome, Antoine, and we thank you so much for calling in and giving us that insight, especially, you know, with you being a principal, so you know firsthand, you know, what we're talking about, because you're dealing with it, you know, day to day versus us who we're just kind of making comments. So, again, we appreciate you for calling into the Keeping It Real High and Fresh show, and we want to remind you in your daily life, even though you're a principal, you're still cool and can keep it real high and fresh.
Sure.
So thank you so much for calling in, and you have a blessed holiday, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, y'all guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so what do y'all think about what he said?
I think that would be greater because, like if you do put all males in the class and then all females in the class, you know, that kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about, you know, the sets and everything, you know, they won't really have that temptation, the arousal.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like they can really learn instead of, you know, you know what I'm saying, you over here, and then like Sally got a dress hack, you know, height way up to her booty.
And pants enough. I think he made some excellent points, and I think another good point that he made was when he was talking about how for the teachers, it makes it a little bit easier for them, too, to teach when they're teaching their same gender. You know what I mean? And when they're answering those same questions. So that was awesome. So right now what we're going to do is ask everyone to give, you know, their final thoughts on the show and if you have any final thoughts or opinions. So, Zach, we'll go ahead and start with you. Any final thoughts for the show tonight? Because it was an excellent show.
Well, that's my final
really
thought. I think like Jewish school has been like that for years though. You know, like with the gender, the heterogeneous or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
I think for years. So yeah, so maybe it'll get over here, you know, to the United States, you know what I'm saying? Well, actually, I mean a little bit, but maybe it'll get more broad, you know. So also, you know, I mean Here at Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh, we definitely promote AIDS awareness. That's one thing that we do promote.
Definitely.
I just want to say, everybody, you know, if you are out there having sex, please wrap up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get in the heat of the moment, just remember that condom because, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry for many years. Yeah, that's my fault.
Okay, Ms. Diane, do you have any final thoughts for the show tonight?
Well, one of my final thoughts is I'm really glad that Zach is back this week.
Me too! Yay! That's my hero!
Number two, I'm with Zach. It's like, you know, we all understand there's temptation there, and if you cannot fight the temptation, use a condom. There's more than just pregnancy out there. There's a lot of diseases, you know, and we got to start getting this under control.
Yeah, we do.
Exactly. I think that's awesome. Well, my final thoughts are going to be just like you guys. I think that first and foremost, I have to agree wholeheartedly with the safe sex thing. And I think that BET used to have a saying that said, you know, no rap, no tap. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's I know that sounds kind of crazy, but that's definitely one way to put it. And I also think that the school systems, as well as the parents, we got to work hand in hand in getting the information out to our kids and, you know, having a forum to where the kids will feel comfortable with coming to us and speaking with us about it. So, and always AIDS awareness, that's number one because it is out there. It's rampant, especially for our young people ages 25 and under. I mean, the numbers are just stacking, and with all this information out there, we have to do our best to try to make sure that that number goes down. So those are my final thoughts. So anybody got anything else to say before we get into our last segment?
I do. I want to also tell everybody to, you know, hit us up at myspace.com/realhotandfresh. Let us know your thoughts, your comments, you know, what do you think. Also, our girl Miss Yada, like Tori D said last week, she will be hooking us up with a Facebook and a Twitter.
Yay.
So definitely be able to keep up with us, and we'll be answering your questions and everything. So like, once again, myspace.com/realhotfresh.
Okay, that's what's up. So now, y'all, we are about to get into our last segment of the show, and we're going to have a little fun here. What I did was I went on my space page and asked some of my friends on there to give me some ways to know that you're ghetto. So some of these might hurt your feelings, but if they do, they're just being you ghetto. So y'all ready? Y'all got my drum roll?
Oh,
yes.
Your ghetto
somebody,
drum
please
roll.
Email us a drum roll. Send us a drum roll on my please, because that's one of the ways we know we ghetto here, keeping it real high fresh. Okay, but anyway, ghetto way number 10. You know you're ghetto when you run and get pots as soon as it starts raining.
What?
I mean, hey, you know what I mean? Okay, ghetto way number 9. If you are still using Tussie deodorant, you know you ghetto. So, ghetto way number 8. You know you ghetto if you are still using black eyeliner to line your lips with red hot lipstick. Now, you know what, y'all? That used to be my jump when I was about 16, 17. Honey, I get my black eyeliner. I read lipstick and I was on and popping. So
did you just
that
say
definitely
red lipstick?
Yes, can you imagine on my lips a black eyeliner with some red lips? I'm telling y'all, that used to be my thing back in the day. Okay, way number seven, you know you're ghetto if the only artwork you own is on your fingertips and your toenails.
Yeah.
Way number 6. You know you get old if your daughter is under 16 and has hair extensions.
Oh, I see that all the time.
No, my sin. Okay. What'd you say, Zach? Okay. Way to know you get on number 5. If you have a pager, for one, and you're paging yourself to make yourself look important, you know you get on. Okay. That's what's up. Okay, way to know you're ghetto number 4. You know you're ghetto if you have ever referred to anything as a whatchamacallit.
Oh, come on.
Go get that go get that you know that that whatchamacallit, yeah, you know you ghetto. Okay, way to know you're ghetto number 3. If you think that fat back is a source of nutrition, and I want to note right here that there is no such thing as low fat back, okay? Please, people, please don't put that fat back in your food. Okay, way to know you get on number two. And, y'all, this came from my friend, so I don't want nobody mad at me. Don't be sending us no messages on MySpace. But way you know to know you get on number two is if your man is calling you at least once a week, collect from jail. Okay, and the number one way to know that you're a ghetto is if that same man that's calling you once a week, collect from jail, haven't called you once since he got out, you know you a ghetto. But anyway, I thought that was so cool when I read those on there. I was like, wow, they have really gave me some pretty neat ones for this week. So that's what's up, y'all. So what you think about them, Zach?
Crazy. Yeah.
And, you know, I tell y'all all the time, it's so crazy because out of 10, at least 4 of them get me every week. And them last two, that number two and that number one, I ain't got no comment on it. Because I done had at least 4 boyfriends locked up. And I'm here to tell you, when they locked up, they in love, but they don't know you when they get out. So when I saw those, I was like, okay, that's what's up. I said, they messed up with it. But, so that's what's up, y'all. We want to say again, happy Memorial Day from the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh crew. We want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we want to remind you all that the music that we started off with is from the late and great Lisa Left Eye Lopez Supernova unreleased album. It was unreleased, but you can still find it at Amazon.com. So from the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh crew, remember to keep it real hot and fresh. Anything else, y'all?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm also go to our MySpace and check out our pictures, because our pictures are posted, so y'all can see how we look. You know, some of us look crazy.
Zach, you done already got comments on my page. Everybody want to know who Zach is. Ooh, who is that? Ooh, who is that girl? I'm like, oh, Lord.
Also,
so that's what's up.
So, too, Left Eye, her birthday is May 27th, 2 more days, and I actually went to her memorial, her grave site today, so, you know, I got
wow.
All the fans. All right, just to let y'all know.
Okay, that's what's up. That's also my nephew Xavier's birthday. So we're going to leave you guys with another song from the late, great Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Remember her on her birthday, May 27th. And this song is called Let's Just Do It. So we're going to do it while we're saying goodbye. Goodbye, y'all. Good night.
Bye.
Yeah, come on. We're gonna do this one right here.
I like this.
Let's just do it. See, when I wanna do something, I just do what I feel, you know what I'm saying? I just do it straight from the heart. So we can do it and do it.
Let's go.
Nobody never understood me better. A true friend forever. That's why I'm writing you this love letter. Despite my ways through every phase, you brought me better days with such a craze. From the beginning, Wendy Hill, the black linen, when I was sagging denim, and let you get a venom until I damaged, when I selected another sister, but we managed to stay connected. When you accepted and see me naked, I couldn't let it 5 years and you still respect it. Now check it, give me a second to unwind, you'll find all the pain and misery, it nearly blew my mind. Can't no fame and chivalry compare to losing time. I'll explain my history. The cruise at night, don't be late, cause I would hate to cross the seven seas in the windy breeze without your fantasy. Let's do it. Do it like I do it.
Yeah.
They used to call me fat. They used to say I'm ugly. And now I'm making records. Groupies screaming that they love me. I got them dollar bills. I make a lot of.